All right, it's a blessing and an honor to be here, isn't it? Thank the Lord for His goodness already in the singing and the good hospitality. Boy, the room's a blessing, isn't it? I praise the Lord. But I thank the Lord this morning for saving me. I often say tonight because I'm usually preaching at night. So if I say tonight, you know, I know where I'm at, know what my name is. Everything's going to be all right. So, and I appreciate this pastor and appreciate many of my friends are here today. It's good to see all of you. Some of you I hadn't got a chance to meet. We hope you get a chance to fellowship as time goes on. Exodus chapter 21. Take your Bible and turn there. The Lord's been so good to us today. I thank Him for yesterday's preaching from Brother Buster and my. What a blessing Brother Willis's message was and all of these men of God. It's been a blessing and a help to my heart. And I want us to look to the Word of God this morning. I do thank Him for saving me. I don't ever want to get to this place and not say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I don't want to wait, Brother Wells. I appreciate that great message. I want to say hallelujah while I'm down here. And say it from my heart to Him in praise and adoration of Him. And I've got something from Him this morning, and I do want to give it to you by the grace of God. So stand with me for just a moment while we read about 6 verses of Scripture, and then I'll let you be seated and we'll pray. Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the 7th he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or the Bible said, or under the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. And he shall serve him forever. You may be seated. Now I want you to look at this text, if you will, in Exodus chapter 21. The Bible says here in Exodus 21, verses 5 and 6, we'll read them again for emphasis. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then the master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through. I was thinking about this early this morning. I started to preach on, have you been bored? But I don't want to preach on that. I don't think that would go very well. I'm not real good with titles, just to be honest with you. I hear a lot of men that have a tremendous title, but when you get to the message, there's not much there. I'd rather have a message and no title than to have a title and no message. But I do want to preach from this text, and I'll use the words of the Bible, Exodus 21, verse number 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. And I want to preach on that this morning. I love my master. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning and we do want to say thank you, God, for the prayers of your people. Thank you, God, for those who early this morning and continually, Lord, these church folks and these men of God that have lifted us up to you in prayer. Thank you, God, for the prayers of your people. And Lord, thank you for their friendship and their love and their encouragement, their kind words. Now I pray, Lord, you'd be pleased to meet with us in the moments we have together. Lord, I realize what I have to say doesn't mean a whole lot. But Lord, if you'll be pleased this morning to clothe us in our calling and pour the fresh oil of God's grace and anointing on our head. Lord, we want to magnify our blessed Redeemer, the one who has bought us and brought us to where we are. We recognize, God, today that we're nothing and you're everything. And we lay our glory at the feet of the cross this morning. And
We pray that He who bought us and brought us here, Lord, will magnify Himself through us. Lord, encourage some man of God who may have come here, Lord, through burdens and battles and trials. Lord, I pray You'd help some preacher's wife who has stood faithfully by the side of her pastor. Lord, I pray that You'd encourage these church members who've lifted up the hands of their man of God. Lord, take us back in our mind's eye to the place, Lord, where You found us. And Lord, I pray that we'll come to say, like the servant says here, I love my master. And I pray that You'll help us, God, to pour out our love for Him. Lord, I pray this will be an exercise of love and a labor of love. And would You allow us, God, to preach for Him and with His power. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, you're aware this morning that the book of Exodus is a book of redemption. It's a book where God gets Israel out of Egypt. I do believe that God did it by blood and He did it by power. God saved them out of Egypt by blood and by power. He sealed them as they came through the Red Sea. He supplied them in the wilderness. And He sent them, His entire plan was to send them over into the land of Canaan. I never will believe that it was ever God's perfect design for them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. The lost man is in Egypt. The carnal man's in the wilderness. The man who's living victoriously in Christ is, of course, living in Canaan's fair and happy land. Now, I'm glad that I can say that I've been redeemed. Thank God. I'm glad the blood has been applied. Hallelujah to my life. And when we come to our text this morning, our text is a part of the judgments which make up the civil law that governed Israel during the time they were in the land of Canaan. And when you look at this passage, you'll find out that it's connected to Israel and their redemption. Look in Deuteronomy chapter number 15, if you will, and we'll read a few verses of Scripture and try to get off the runway. Deuteronomy chapter 15, here's what the Bible said. In verse number 13, the Bible said, and rather verse 12, and if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. And thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this day, this thing today. And so this passage of Scripture is a connection to the redemption of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Now I want to say tonight, this morning rather, that God has brought us out of the world system and birthed us with His mighty power. And then this passage also is connected to the work of our Savior as the world's Redeemer. The custom that is mentioned here in this passage of Scripture where the man was brought to the gates of the city and his ear was bored through the cartilage of the ear, not the lobe of the ear, but the cartilage of the ear, to mark that individual is connected in the language of the Bible to the language of our blessed Savior. In Psalm chapter 40, he talks about how he had surrendered to the will of God. And he said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. Mine ears hast thou opened. And it takes us back into a time when we cannot hardly imagine, when the Son of God surrendered completely to the will of the Father. And he surrendered completely to leave aside heaven's glory and to come to this world completely to be our Savior. When he sacrificed and surrendered himself to come to this world to be the Savior of the entire world. It's connected in the Bible, the language of it, to the sufferings of Christ. Look in Isaiah chapter 50 for just a moment. In Isaiah chapter 50, and you'll recognize this passage when we get there. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And so the language that we just read reminds us of the surrender and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're being reminded as we look at this text, behind this language in typology is a picture of Christ as our Redeemer. In this passage, He is the Master. You and I are the servants. In this passage, He is the purchaser. You and I are the purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you in this text, Leighton is a picture of our redemption. And it should be a picture of our surrender and our willing surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I look at this text this morning, I notice the debtor and his poverty. Now when I studied the background of this text, I found out there was a number of reasons why a Hebrew might find himself in a position where he would become a slave. There's at least six different reasons, and I'm not going to entertain all of them this morning, but I do want to say this. There are two outstanding reasons why a Hebrew may have become a debtor. They are a picture of our condition outside of Jesus Christ. Number one, a person may have become a debtor because of personal debt or poverty. The writer said they would have maybe become an insolvent debtor. Now for those of you that are rednecks, it simply means they become flat busted. Amen. And did you know that outside of Jesus Christ, that you and I are flat busted before God? That we have absolutely nothing to offer Him. That we are sinners in the worst condition we can possibly be in. Oh, I want to say to you this morning, those of us that are outside of Christ, we are in debt to God. Our sin debt is above our eyeballs. We are in personal debt to our God. And then let me say, secondly, in the next chapter, in Exodus chapter 22, there's the mention of the fact that some may be guilty of crimes. And the text reveals that a person could be a thief. And because of what they had stolen, if they did not have the ability to make full restitution, then they would be brought into slavery. That is, because of personal crimes, they will be brought to a place of slavery. How did you know that you and I were not only sinners in Adam, but we're also sinners by our own choices? Did you know that not only did Adam sell us out, and that we were sinners by nature, but we're also sinners by choice? And we chose to sin, and we chose to rebel against God. And so this morning, all of us are sinners in the sight of God. Every one of us are debtors and are a part of the slavery of sin. You say, preacher, I'm not in bondage. If you're lost, you're still in the bondage of sin. If you're lost, you are still a debtor in the sight of a holy God. Now you may be like those in Luke chapter 7. The Bible said a certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 50 pence and another owed 500 pence. But they both came to the creditor. And thank God the Bible said he frankly forgave them both. Amen. And you know, you may have come to Christ as a Sunday school kid, wiping crumbs off your face, sitting in a class hearing about Jesus as a little child. You may have been cradled in Amazing Grace, and you may have been rocked to sleep with John 3:16, and that's wonderful. I say hallelujah. I wish that was my testimony, but it is not. And if it's your testimony, shout on and tell others what Jesus has saved you from, and tell them hallelujah. How wonderful, how powerful it is. It takes just as much of the grace of God to save someone from the depths of sin as it does to save someone out of the depths of sin. I'm glad He's able to reach them, whoever they are. It's far better for them to get saved while they're small, while they're young, while they're starting their life. If you are a debtor, my friend, a little child, you ought to come to Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. But there's some of us that were like myself, and we were 500 pence debtors. went farther and farther down the road of sin. I thought about what Brother Buster said yesterday. In my mind's eye, I went back just a little bit. I was with my daughter the other day, and we were at the tag office. And I was standing there in the line, and the line's pretty long where we are. And she was standing beside of me, and a fellow pulled up outside. And I looked through the glass windows, and I recognized him. And I looked at my daughter, and I said, "Look at that man right there." And she said, "Why, Daddy?" I said, "I can't tell you right now." I said, "Just look at him. Get a look at his face." I said, "Ask me later on and I'll tell you why." And we went through the tag office and we got our business done. And we got alone that day and we were talking. And she said, "Daddy," she said, "why did you ask me to tell you about that man?" I said, "Well, not too far from where we are right now on the night, myself and two other men were doing a drug deal that night. That man was a police officer. We talked to him in the tag office. He did not recognize me. I didn't tell him who I was." I said, "That night, that man came on us. And he almost arrested us. I can't give you the details of that story right now." I said, "But I want to tell you something that magnifies the grace of God." You said, "What is it?" On that night, those three men, myself, another man, and that police officer, I said, the only ones living among those that stood there that night in that horrible event is one sinner saved by the grace of God. And that police officer, in his duty. Oh, I want to tell you this morning that I magnify the grace of God. I was far down in the depths of sin. Oh, but I'm glad my master was willing to come where I was and bring me out of the place where I was. I'm not magnifying sin, but I'm magnifying the one, hallelujah, that can save from sin. I'm glad whether you come from the guttermost or wherever you come from, I'm glad he's got enough grace to bring the debtor out of the prison house. I'm glad he's got enough power, thank God, to save them out of sin and bring them out from where they are. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I don't want to wait till I get there and to tell him how thankful I am that he reached down where I was and saved my soul. I'm so glad. Hallelujah! My master knew I was a debtor. I had nothing to pay, and he came to where I was and he brought me out. Hallelujah. Oh, the debtor is a picture of all of us. The debt of sin we all bore. And all of us were in the same condition. And thank God, I'm glad we see the master in his provision. The master in his provision. In verse 2, "If thou buy an Hebrew servant," if thou buy an Hebrew servant. And when the master stepped in to this individual's condition, he took upon himself all the responsibility of that individual. Did you hear what I said? I said when the master stepped in, it did not matter how much he owed or what his crimes were. He took upon himself to take care of all of what was involved in taking care of this individual. The Bible said, "If thou buy a Hebrew servant," that is, first of all, he was required to pay the debt that this individual had incurred. Now that boggles my mind. You say, why? That's because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt of sin for every individual that would ever live. It boggles my mind when I think of the multitudes and the mountains of sin that I committed before I got saved. And not only since I have been saved, and those sins that I will commit. I was at a funeral one day and I heard a Baptist preacher say, "Aren't you glad that Jesus paid the down payment on our sins?" And steam started coming out of my ears. I started grinding my teeth. You say, why? He's talking about something he knows absolutely nothing about. I'm telling you, Jesus did not pay a down payment on my sins. Oh, but when he went to that cross and stretched out his sinless arms on that cross, and he bowed his, thank God, he bowed his pulseless chin on a pulseless chest, and he passed his life back to the Father. But while he was there, he stayed there until all the debt of sin was satisfied on my behalf. I said, hallelujah. Jesus paid all the debt of my sin. He paid for all of your sins. And 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 all of your sins. Thank God He took upon Himself to pay the debt of all our sin. Hallelujah. No, when I think about it, I think of how He paid my debt. And I realize that I owed a debt that I could not pay. And I'm glad He paid a debt that He did not owe. And in that prophetic text in Psalm 69, it lets us know that He restored that which He took not away. That is, I gained more in Christ than I lost in Adam. Oh, Adam robbed me of my inheritance. But yet I'm now located under a new federal head. Now, hallelujah, I'm not just in Adam, I'm in Christ. And Jesus has made me an heir. Had a joint heir with Him, and I'm one of His sons. Took me out of the devil's cursed family and put me in the family of God. I'm so glad this morning. Thank God the Master and His provision brought a full purchase so that He paid the debt for my case. And then not only that, the crimes that one had incurred would cause there to be full restitution. Exodus 22 verse 3 had to be made. Now, I want to say this to you right now. Jesus paid the debt of my sin and He brought full restitution. Hallelujah. He made me a brand new creature in Christ. He did for me what nobody else could do. Hallelujah. He did. He settled my debt and He paid for my crimes. And the Bible said He was wounded and He was bruised and chastised and striped. And He took upon Himself my sins. That the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And that hadn't got old to me. I said to Him this morning, oh, thank God and the Lamb forever. I thank God that He was willing to pay the debt of sin on my behalf. And He was willing to purchase me. It was not a whole lot when He got me, but thank God He paid the supreme price. I'm glad He's that kind of purchaser. When He brought me out, He paid the full price. And I'm glad this morning, not only is the purchase here seen in our text in typology, but the provision is made. Once this individual who is the Master, who's a picture of Christ, steps in on the scene, they take upon themselves the full responsibility of that individual. Now you listen to what I'm saying. The Bible said, ye are not your own. For you're bought with a price. I'm His responsibility. And He took upon Himself the responsibility of the purchased one. And you think about that right now. Listen now. It's not your responsibility to provide your needs. It's not your responsibility to be the protector of your life. Even though I understand there's some wisdom about that. I understand a person ought to work. I understand a person probably ought to carry a firearm. Say amen right there. That's exactly right. I believe in that. Amen. But I want to say this to you right now. Thank God He has taken on Himself the entire responsibility of my care. All the care of my life is under the watchful eye of my Master. He has watched over me now for over 30 years. I praise His holy name. He's taken good care of me. Oh, my soul. I said, my Lord has taken good care of me. I praise Him. I say, hallelujah. He's taken good care of me. Amen. Yes, He is. And when I think about it, it's found in our text. The Bible said in Exodus 21, if His Master have given Him a wife. Now you think about this in the text that is read. If His Master have given Him a wife. The hand of the Master had brought Him, while He was in this position, a companion to His life. Now I don't know how much that means to you, but that means a lot to this preacher. I don't know if you've tried to imagine what it would be like to serve without her or to operate and do the things you need to do without her. But I've thought long and hard and I've decided unless God does something, I don't want to operate that way. No, I praise His holy name for the wife that He has given me. I thank Him. I bless His holy name. She's a preacher's wife and she's a good wife and a godly woman. And I thank God for it. No, I look back at the day when I was just a young man starting out in this thing. And God God looked out so wonderfully for me because he knew what I would need. And he brought that one to my side to serve with me so I could honor him and love him and stand in the gap for him. Oh, don't ever get to the place where you take each other for granted and you forget the blessings of life and the blessings of companionship. Oh, thank God the Master has so graciously provided a companion in this journey. Oh, you look up to God sometimes and even look at her and say, thank God, honey, I thank God for you. I thank God for the companion that he's brought to my life. And I look back and think about how the Lord did it all. It had to be the miracle of his mighty hand. And I believe God still puts people together. Yeah, I do. I believe God still provide, will still provide a mate. Adam didn't get on whatever it is on the internet and start looking for a girlfriend. Amen. God brought him mate. And I still believe God can still do that. And I praise his holy name. His master had provided a wife. And then along with that, there had become some children in the text that we just read. Sons or daughters in verse number 4. And think about the Christian family. And think about how good God has been to you. And some of you probably would have been like me. You'd have been a byword or a byline in an article in a newspaper somewhere. Or you'd have been somewhere laid up in a back alley with a needle hanging out your arm somewhere. No, God so graciously put you together. And God so wonderfully brought from the fruit of that union precious children that are the heritage of God Almighty. No, God lets you serve him and love him together. No, I never will forget. We were just starting out and our kids were real small at the time. And they were all at the table. My wife homeschooled all of them and taught them how to read. And they'd read the Bible in school every day. Had a little picture book there. And sometimes she'd have them look at a picture and tell a story. I got home. She had the table spread one day. And they had been studying about the cross that day. Hallelujah. And I know the pictures don't do it justice. And don't beat me up after the service. And one of them got a hold of that picture and held it up and said, Daddy, and said, look at this. Said, he must have loved us a lot. No, we got to crying. We got to crying in those beans and we couldn't say the blessing. We held hands and just worshiped him a little while and just praised him. Why? Because he must have loved us a lot. How to go to that old rugged cross and hang out there in suffering and in shame. Oh, God has so blessed you and your kids. Some of them are serving God and honoring God. And you ought to look up to God and say, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for purchasing me. I thank you for providing for me. I thank you for all that you've done. Hallelujah. And you think about all the blessings of life and all that God has done for you. All the provision of his care down through the years. And honestly, I know I wouldn't have anything if I was lost. I'd probably be in hell right now. I wouldn't have anything. I look at my life and what a wreck it was when I come to Christ. And I came in the back door of the first service. The man had invited me. And the preacher admitted sometime after I got saved. He said, when you come in the door, I just shook my head and said, oh God. No, I'm glad God didn't say, oh God. I'm glad when he looked out there and he saw me a sinner as a candidate for his grace and his mercy. I'm glad he saw not what I was, but what I could be and what I could become. And I'm glad he reached back there on April 25th, 1982 and drew me by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost of God and brought me to a place of repentance. I got saved by the grace of God Almighty. I'm glad this morning I know that I'm saved. All that I am I owe to my Master. All that I am I owe to Jesus. Hallelujah. No, I remember leaving the church that day knowing that I knew I'd never go back to the old places that I used to go to again. Yeah, used to spend my Sunday afternoons in the pool hall. No, I used to spend Saturday night, most of the night out doing things I'm ashamed of to this day. No, the day I got saved, I went home and I stood there and I thought, my. I've roamed all around this wild, wicked world trying to find out what the meaning of life was and trying to find some peace and some happiness. And the day He found me and brought into my life all that I needed. Thank God, I now am complete. I know Him and He knows me. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad He came to where I was and purchased me and brought me out. And He's made me what I am today. You say, preacher, you're not much. You're right. But He's got it all. It all belongs to Him. Thank God for the Master who has purchased me and provided for me. Now, I think about all of life's benefits. You think about today, most of us yesterday ate more than a lot of folks will eat in a third world country in a month. Most of us have slept in better places than a lot of the population of the world will ever see in a lifetime. And a lot of us came here today with more benefits and more blessings than we're thanking God for. And the Bible said that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. Have you thought about lately how the good hand of God has been opened up in your life? How God has so bountifully blessed you. And even those of you that are members of this church, look around at this beautiful facility. And God's man leading you and God's provision in your life. Oh, you ought to thank God every day you live that you're in God's family, that you're in God's will, that you're walking with Him, and that He's taking care of you. You ought to remember every gift. You ought to recognize His benefits. Oh, the Bible said, forget not all His benefits. I preached some time ago at our church from that text in Psalm 68, is it? Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with His benefits. And I preached on you're loaded. Have you ever had somebody say, look at him, he's loaded? I said, man, if you're saved, you're loaded. You're loaded. Oh, I'm a loaded Christian. Thank God, God pulls up His dump truck every day in my life and pulls a lever. And He dumps it all out on me. I don't deserve most of it. A lot of it is gifts by mercy and gifts by grace and gifts by love. Oh, but I don't want to forget the hand that gives it. I don't want to forget the God that provided it. Hallelujah for the provision of my Master this morning. I say to you that I love Him and I want to return thanks to Him. And it doesn't matter this morning if you've been saved 30 minutes or 30 days or 30 years. He's taking good care of you. It doesn't matter if you, listen, if you're a preacher or a pastor or a missionary or just a Sunday school teacher, He's taking care of you. It doesn't matter if you're well versed or hardly not versed at all. I want to tell you, God is taking care of you. I want to say hallelujah for the one who's taking control of my life and is watching over me, and all of His effort is put forth to take care of me as His servant this morning. And then I want to say finally, the servant and his profession. This is where we come to in our text, verse number 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, how long has it been since you stood up in a service and said, I just want to plainly say that I love my Master? Oh, how long has it been? You say, I ain't going to get up and cry. Well, stay seated then while I do it a little while. I ain't going to get up and embarrass myself. Oh, He went through a whole lot more for me. Oh, how old Sunday morning. We got the service, got cranked up, and the choir came down, had a few special songs. We got a blind piano player. She's a blessing from God. Boy, God's been working in her heart. Boy, about the time they finished one song, she jumped up and she said, I just want to stand up and say to Him how much I love Him. And He's wonderful. Where in the world could you go where you could understand how good God's been to you? And where could you be where you could find out how wonderful that He really is? And the next thing you know, they come a breeze, come blowing through there, through that place. You say, why? It's because somebody got up and just started plainly saying, I just want to tell somebody that I love Him. I just want to tell somebody that I love Him and that He's wonderful. I just just want to tell everybody here how wonderful that it really is. Oh, my soul, something will start happening from another world when God's people just start plainly saying, I love Him. Hallelujah. Was it not the great awakening that started after seasons of prayer? And a young girl stood up and said, I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. Oh my. There's something about that. There's something about when a redeemed sinner gets gratitude in their heart. There's something about when the Holy Ghost gets to operating on a heart that's been redeemed, and they start giving that sacrificial praise, and they lose concern about what Sister Flapjaw's going to say or Brother Wiggle Lips, and they just get up and they say, I just want to plainly say, He brought me from the mire and put me in the choir. He saved me from a deserved hell, and He's taken me to an undeserved heaven. He brought me out of the miry clay and He placed me on the rock to stay. I just want to tell Him this morning that I love Him. Hallelujah. There's something about it when God's people say that I love Him. Oh, I like that old song, don't you? Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him. When I could see no way, He makes a way. Oh, hallelujah. And if you'd have said this, somebody said, whatever happened to old Tommy Winslow? Somebody would have probably, they didn't know, would have probably said, well, he probably died of old drug overdose in a motel room somewhere of a drug overdose. And I'd have to say, no, he did not. If somebody said, what happened to old Tommy Winslow? Somebody would probably beat or blew his brains out. I'd have to say, no, he did not. What happened to him? Thank God the Holy Ghost passed by that old church and the gospel was preached that day. And thank God I run up the white flag of surrender and I said no to the devil and yes to God. And hallelujah, I got bought out of Egypt slavery and brought out of bondage. And thank God I got saved and by the grace of God, and now I got a title clear and a mansion's in the sky. I've got a God that's taking care of me. I've got somebody that's watching out over my life. He's been so good. I've just got to say, I love Him this morning. I love Him this morning. Been so good to me. I could have been a statistic, but I'm now saved. Could have went to hell, but I'm going to heaven. Could have been stealing the prison house of sin, but I've been set free by the grace of God. And I'm glad this morning I can say, plainly say, and personally say, and publicly say, I love my Master. Oh, I love Him this morning. Oh, I thank God that He passed by my way. Hallelujah! It was an act of confession. I say it like the one said here, I love my Master. Now you think about it now, His mouth is open. Amen. That's a good way to say hallelujah. Get your mouth open. Yeah. We've used it for everything else. Why don't you use it for Him? Yeah. If we could get all the gospels to start saying glory, boy, we would be on fire for God. They'd have to get their heart right because they're more bent on gospel than they are saying glory. Oh, if we could get all those busy bodies to get busy about thanking Him and saying hallelujah and saying glory to God, He's such a good Savior. How much better off would we be this morning? Thank God I say as an act of confession this morning that I love my Master. Amen. Amen. I got to say the 8 words like John said in the sweetest verse in his first epistle. We love Him because He first loved us. You say, preacher, why do you love Him? I had no capacity to love Him. My nature was so fallen. My spirit was dead. I had no capacity to love Him. But something happened one day. Oh, He reached down His hands and He started exercising His love on me. No, He allowed me to pass from death into life. And He put His love on the inside of my heart. I did not know how to love, and you did not know how to love. But when God loved and exercised his love. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to run back to the motel. Somebody might have to tag team and let a rip. I'm telling you, hallelujah, I love him because he first exercised his love on me. I say it this morning as a matter of confession. I say it as a matter of saying I'm converted. Why? You say, preacher, I can't get them to love God. They may not have the capacity to love God. If they've been converted, if they've been saved, if they've been born again, they've got the capacity to love God. Boy, that's one of the miracles to me of the new birth. Yeah. Oh, you think about it. Somebody who loves sin so completely and loved it. I mean, you didn't live that. Not only you loved it, you lived in it. And you didn't want to leave it. Why'd you leave it? God got a hold of your heart. No, it's only then that you were willing to turn from sin to the Savior. And only then when He exercised His love on you did you come to the place where you could love Him. It's a confession of our conversion. It's a confession of His care over our lives. Psalm 116 verse 1. David said this, I love the Lord because. I love the Lord because. Man, if you stop right there, now He gave us a reason. If you stop right there, you can just make a list. It'll never run out. I love the Lord because He saved me. Because He answers my prayers. That's what David said. Because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. I love Him because He steps in when everybody else steps out. I love Him because He's my best friend all the time and He's my only friend sometimes. I love Him because, hallelujah, He never leaves me or forsakes me. I love Him because His love for me never changes. When my love waxes warm, like our brother preached, He loves me. And when my love is cool, He loves me. I can't get my mental feelers around that. But it just makes me want to love Him more and more and more. We love Him because He first loved us. I love the Lord because. And you could put your answer in there. But I love Him because of all the compassion He's had on me since I've been saved. Now, thankfully, I'm a stranger here. You don't really know who I am. Really. My wife knows me better than anybody else here. And she loves me, and that's wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. She's patient with me, and she's kind. She's like the Lord is with me. But I know me. And in the ministry, sometimes somebody will come, maybe not in so many words, and they'll say, you know, there's some things about you I don't really like. And you know what you might have to say? Me too. Me too. There's some things about me I don't like. In fact, have you ever listened to one of your sermons? And you thought, my, so I really missed it right there. Lord, I wish I could go back and rewind the tape and just fix that right there. But you know, the amazing thing about it all is there is one who knows me better than anybody else. My down sitting and my uprising. He knows my thoughts before I think them. My words before I say them. My deeds before I do them. Yet He loves me completely. And He who knows me best loves me the most. That boggles my mind that He... You say, well, I didn't know they were that way. Yeah, you found out they're just a sinner saved by grace, didn't you? I didn't know they had a temper. Yeah, they got a temper. I didn't know. Yes, they are like that. But the one who really knows them loves them more than you do. It's a matter here this morning of an act of confession. Now the servant's mouth is open. How long has it been since your mouth's been open? Where you say to Him, Lord, I love You. One of the reasons why those testimonies sometimes don't get old to me
It's because my mother-in-law got up. She sits on this side of the church, and she got up shouting Sunday morning. And I don't ever get tired of seeing her shout. I don't ever get tired of it. Prayed for 18 years. Thought the devil's going to kill her and carry off to hell. And every time she gets up and shout, boy, the Holy Ghost would get a hold of my heart and say, look over there. That's what I can do. Look over there. That's what I can do. And about that time, my sister-in-law, who was a heroin addict, was sitting right over there. She'll look over there, and them old tears will start streaming down her face, and she'll start waving her hand, and God will say, look over there, that's what I can do. Look over there, that's what I can do. Oh, he said, just look over there, that's what I can do. Oh, I want to say hallelujah. I love him this morning. I love him. Nobody in all the world can do what he can do. Hallelujah. I love him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Over and over and over again, he shows how wonderful and how powerful he is. His mouth is open, but now his ear is about to be open. He's about to go public to the doorpost of the city and stand with the elders and say, I want my life marked. I want my life to be identified with this master. I want my life forevermore. I want everybody to know that I no longer belong to myself, but that I belong to him. Take me to the doorpost. It was a personal decision that the individual had to make in the year that he could have been released. He could have walked free, but he made the choice to sell out and to submit and to surrender his life so it would be magnify the master that he represented. And when you saw him over at town and that hole in his ear, not down here now, not with the ear ring in it. Amen. Not down here, not through here, not through here, not through here, not through here. Not preaching on all that, but I just thought I'd say that while I was there. Amen. I mean, we've had them come, you have too, they look like they fell into a tackle box. But right through the ear, as a mark that he was now identified with the master. And it was an outward representation of who he belonged to. In the presence of his peers, in his personal appearance. By the way, it does really matter how you look if you represent the master. I don't advertise for many people. Really, you might see me with a real tree hat on maybe tomorrow, going home. But I don't advertise for many people. But mainly my body is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I am to submit my body a living sacrifice. My body has been purchased by His blood. My body belongs to Him. It's not mine to display. This is not anybody else's billboard, but His. My body is not to display anything but the love that I have for my Master. Let me say this, it's an act of consecration. Now, his ear is open. It marked him publicly. It affected him in every way. It involved his family. He said, I love my wife. I love my master, number one. I love my wife and I love my children. He said, I want you to know that this decision I make, I know is going to affect my family for the rest of my life. I love my master. I love my wife. Boy, many times the devil's been on my trail and I've got down to pray and God said, don't you do it. Don't you do it. And I could see them standing there crying because my life was wasted and wrecked by sin. You listen now. Boy, you ought to love God, but you ought to love your family enough that you wouldn't want to break their heart and bring shame on the cause of Christ, that break their heart. Oh, my soul, I love him, but I love them also. Oh, now it affected his freedom. The Bible says here in this text, he shall serve him forever. He shall serve him forever. And there's no discharge. There's no time to quit. Boy, you've thought about it. I've been in meetings where they just absolutely stomped down, gut a guy out because he thought about quitting. And I thought, man, I'd like to pay you a visit on Monday sometime. Man, you must be far more spiritual than I am. I'd like to come down, let's just add up all your efforts and labors and see what kind of fruit that you've come up with, and let's talk about it a little while. No, I want to tell you this. We'll serve Him if we ought to serve Him, and we should serve Him. We ought to serve Him forever. He's bought the privileges. By the way, He's bought lifetime rights to your life. Lifetime rights. It affected His family. It affected His freedom. It affected His future. And how long has it been since you looked up to Him and said, I love my Master. The one who purchased me. The one who's provided for me. The one who's bought the rights to my life and my love for the rest of my days. And if all God had ever done for you was save you, it would have been enough for you to serve Him the rest of your days. But there's not a person here that can say, preacher, all God ever did for me was save me. Not a one of us can say that. All of us would have to say, He's done much more for me than I've ever deserved for Him to do. And you just think back for just a minute about what God's done in your life. You might have come here from the biggest church battle you've ever been through in your life. And the devil's already told you it's not worth it. You're tired of fighting. I sat with a dear friend of mine here some time ago. And he said, preacher, he said, I got so close. He said, I'd already called my old boss man. And I'd already made all the arrangements. My salary figure, he told me what he'd offer me. More than most of us in here will make in a year. And he said, I had it all lined out. And said, God got a hold of my heart. And a lot of us have been there. At our wit's end. Thinking about, God, why does it have to be this way? The people that you love the most sometimes break your heart the most. But you got to come back to this text again and say, Lord, I love you. I have taken that mark for the rest of my life to serve you. And I want to do it because I love you. Let's stand this morning. Preacher, if you would come. Thank you for the time. Stand with our heads bowed. Pastor, if you will come.